If you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you would speak to us today, that you would encourage us, that you would remind us of who you are and of who you have made us to be. Lord, help us to be your church better. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. The story has been told before, but the joke goes something like this. A man was at the end of his rope, standing on the top of a high bridge, contemplating the worst. When all of a sudden, a second man came out of nowhere. "Stop, stop, don't do it," he said. "But I've nothing to live for," said the first man. "Maybe I can help," said the second man. Are you religious?" "Yes, I am," said the first man. "Me too," said the second man. Are you Christian, Jewish, or Muslim?" said the first man. "I'm a Christian," said the first man. "Me too," said the second man. Are you Protestant or are you Catholic?" "I'm a Protestant," said the first man. "Me too," said the second man. "Are you a Calvinist or a Wesleyan?" "Calvinist," said the first man. "Me too," said the second man. "Are you liberal or conservative?" "Conservative," said the first man. "Me too," said the second man. "Evangelical or fundamentalist?" "Evangelical," said the first man. "Me too," said the second man. "Charismatic, Reformed, or Baptist?" "Baptist," said the first man. "Me too," said the second man. "General Baptist, Conference Baptist, or Northern Baptist?" "Conference Baptist," said the first man. "Me too," said the second man excitingly. "Conference Baptist of the 1932 conference or Conference Baptist of the 1946 conference?" "Conference Baptist of the 1932 conference," said the first man. "1932? Infidel, heretic, scum." And then he gave the man a good shove. Of course, as tragic and silly as this story is, it sure does seem a little familiar these days. Sure seems like the way of our society and of our world. Sure, we are neighbors, we are co-workers, we even go to the same church, but then we see a bumper sticker or overhear a snippet of conversation and we quickly conclude, "Infidel, heretic, scum." I mean, we agree on this and 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 of course that other thing as well. But since I believe this and you believe that, well, I hate you and everything you stand for. Even if we actually stand for almost all of the other same things. What? You vote this way, think that way, believe this third way, even if it's not for the reason I think, well, then you're a horrible, terrible person and we will never be friends again. We divide the world so quickly between us and them. And then we write off anyone who's not a part of us. It's almost like somehow we've lost the space for nuance, the patience for nearness, the capacity for niceness. But in all of that, maybe we've lost something else too, something a bit more fundamental. But let me back up for a minute. 2 weeks ago, we began a series looking at our longing for community, for closeness, for connection. There's something in us that knows we need other people. We need family and friends. We want to be a part of the group, the gang, the troop, the tribe, the team. We need to know that we belong. But as much as we long for these things, we also push against them as well, because the reality is that community comes with a cost. And to be quite frank, we're often unwilling to pay that price. We don't want to commit. We don't want to risk. We don't want to show weakness. We don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to have to do anything that might reveal that we need someone else. To further complicate matters, as we talked about when we began this series, our world is changing. As one author put it, we are moving from a culture of we to a culture of I. Of course, as we do, as we prize individualism, we also find that we are more isolated. As we go it alone, we find out that we are more lonely. As we hold ourselves just outside of the group, we wonder why we don't always feel like we are a part of the group. And this is the conundrum we face. We know we need community. We even at times want community, but that need and that want aren't always enough to overcome our fear, our apathy, our busyness, or even our selfishness. And so we don't pursue it. Even as we long to belong, even as we long to be known and loved, we don't always find what we long for. Today we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at our longing to be included. And we're going to see God's plan in all of this as well a little bit. So if you would, I would invite and encourage you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 22. It says this: "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Amen." This is an amazing passage. It describes the radical transformation that God has worked in our lives. More than that, it tells us a bit about why God has done this, and it even reveals a little bit about who we are to become. And so as we dig into this a little bit more today, I want us to see how we have been included. I want us to look at the cost of inclusion before finally ending with the why of inclusion. Again, how we have been included, the cost of inclusion, before talking about the why of inclusion. And so let's get started with how we've been included, because really our passage is describing a radical transformation that God has worked inside of us. And as we dig into this, it's really important that we're going to see the before, who we were, where we started, before we get to the after, who we have become, and even who we are becoming. Because the reality is that we won't be able to enter into this passage in the right spirit, let alone the topic of inclusion, if we think we've earned or deserve all of the position and prestige that we've received. And Paul, here in Ephesians, doesn't mince words about who we were before Jesus. He says quite plainly, we were dead in our transgressions, separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship, foreigners to the covenant, strangers, without hope and without God. Ouch. In other words, Paul isn't very impressed in who we are without Jesus. And again, it's crucial that we recognize, remember, and understand this, because this is the only way that we will be able to relate, empathize, and commiserate with anyone else, let alone those who still feel this way, with those who still feel marginalized, with those who still are hurting, with those who still feel like outsiders. And this is hard in the best of times. Frankly, what makes this even harder is that once we are in the inside, we have a tendency to want to keep others out. Once I'm an insider, I want to make sure that everyone else who isn't already inside stays in their place out there. Once I've gotten myself through the door, I want to make sure that door gets shut as quickly as possible behind me. Because it's only an important or exclusive group if others can't come in. It's like Groucho Marx once joked, I don't want to belong to any club that will accept me as a member. Of course, in reality, I don't want anyone else to be in the club but me. In an essay called The Inner Ring, C.S. Lewis recognizes that we strive so hard to get into this inner ring, this exclusive group, only often to realize that there is still a more inner ring or exclusive group to aspire to. And then another one after that, and another one after that. Of course, as we move our way into these more and more inner rings, we also want to keep these more and more private, so they stay more and more important, so we feel more and more important. And Lewis concludes, but your genuine inner ring exists for exclusion. There'd be no fun if there were no outsiders. The invisible line would have no meaning unless most people were on the wrong side of it. Exclusion is no accident. It's the essence. Really, this is precisely why it's so important for us to remember who we were, where we started, because it reminds us that we know what it's like to be on the other side, to be outside, to be excluded. What's more, we know that we didn't and don't deserve to be brought in, but of course that's what God did. Not because we deserved it, not because we earned it, not because of who we are or anything about us, but simply because that is who God is. That is what Jesus did. That is what the Holy Spirit does. And really, our passage details this in a remarkable way as it just simply describes who God is. Out of His great love for us, God who is rich in mercy, the incomparable riches of His grace, His kindness to us. You see, it's God's goodness that changes us. God extended His love and mercy and kindness and grace, and He took different kinds of people and made them one. He took foreigners and strangers and made them citizens and family. He took us as outsiders and made us into insiders. We longed to be included. And so God brought us in. God gave us a place. God helped us to belong. What an amazing gift. God made us citizens of the kingdom of God. It's worth very briefly pointing out that we're not specifically talking about heaven here. The kingdom of God is bigger than that. It's a different way of life. It's a different way of relating to the world around us. It's about not just later, but right now. But we're going to talk about that in a couple more weeks. For now, we simply need to recognize that our first allegiance is to our heavenly kingdom, the kingdom of God, which is different from what's on our papers or passports. We live here, we belong here, but our true citizenship is somewhere else. And of course, there are all manner of rights and privileges that come with this new status. As citizens, we fall under a different jurisdiction. We have different values. We live toward different aims. We work toward different goals. But with all of that also comes a cost. You see, there is a cost being a citizen. Those rights and privileges also come with a certain amount of responsibility. And while there are many things that we could list out as responsibilities that we should have, there's one I want to highlight in particular today because it should be a consequence of our being included in the first place. And that responsibility that we have is simply this: we have to learn how to get along. We have to stop seeing difference as a threat. We have to become better at including. Our passage is very clear. God has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. He has reconciled us, for He Himself is our peace. In other words, God recognizes that we are different, and now He wants us to learn peace, learn wholeness, learn harmony, learn togetherness together. Quite frankly, maybe this is why He refers to us as citizens in the first place, because by nature, citizens are often different. Unlike members of your family, who at least probably have a few things in common with you, citizens tend to be very different from one another. I mean, really, the only guaranteed commonality of a citizen is that you are a part of the same country or kingdom. But therefore, the people may be drastically different from you, despite being fellow citizens with you. Of course, this can then be uncomfortable. This can then get messy. This can simply be not easy. Because the reality is, we don't always agree. We don't always see things from the same point of view. We don't always have the same history or perspective or vision. But therefore, instead of finding things to agree on, it just becomes easier for us to find things we disagree about, to exacerbate conflict, to hold up the differences that hold us apart. But then we stop listening. And then we stop relating. And then we stop caring. In other words, we forget our common ground, which is our citizenship in the first place. And this isn't to say that differences or disagreements are immaterial, or that they always should be overlooked, or that they don't matter, or they should just be ignored. Because the reality is that God made us different on purpose. But that being said, God also made a lot of really different people all citizens together. And of course, we have to remember that we also are different from them. This is the part that's hard. Because what we tend to think is that those people are the different ones. They're the odd ones. They're the ones who have strayed. Instead of recognizing that we are different too. How quick we are to conclude that it's those people who are the problem. It's those people who need to get with the program. It's those people who have forgotten what it means to be citizens. Except by making those people, we have become part of the problem. And really, if you're anything like me, you have to be careful here because I tend to let myself off the hook so easily, so quickly. I don't remember saying anything bad about anyone ever, and if I did, I didn't mean it. I don't think I've ever judged someone else because they were different from me, because they voted different than me, because they were on a different side of another issue. And if I did, it was a weird occurrence and they probably deserved it anyway. I've never told an off-color joke unless it was really funny and I knew my audience well. I've never made sport of someone from the other side, even if I'm right and they're dumb. I've never been smug or self-righteous or boorish or disparaging or condescending. But of course, maybe that's not entirely true. The reality is that the cost of being included is that others are included as well. And they will be different from us. And we have to be the ones who act differently, value differently, who reach out and reach across differently, who walk and talk differently. And why? Because we together are the citizens of the same country, of God's country. And the real thing that keeps us together is that it is God who brought us in and included us all to be a part of His kingdom. He made us all belong. Which brings us to our third point. Because, of course, there's one more piece of this puzzle that I think we need to talk about. Because you see, I think God is trying to do something through all of this diversity and inclusion. As I was thinking about this passage and the state of our world, I was again reminded that our world just isn't as simplistic as we often try and make it. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, if you zoom out far enough, sometimes there are some nice simplicities to find. But when you zoom back in, there are all manner of complexities. And maybe that's a blessing. Maybe part of the problem occurs when we try and oversimplify things. Maybe we divide things into two different categories too often, too easily. Maybe things weren't meant to be so binary. In fact, if we were to look deeper at all of this, I think we would find that binary is boring. Zero or one. Yes or no. In or out. Black or white. Republican or Democrat. Left or right, rich or poor, foreigner or native. But the world just isn't so simple. And it's not supposed to be. Sure, categories can be helpful at times as long as we remember that God's world is bigger and more complex and more diverse and more beautiful than that. Because of course we're not supposed to all think the same, and we're not supposed to look the same, because of course we're not supposed to be the same. The world is never simply binary. It's never that simplistic, and it's not supposed to be. Quite frankly, a lifetime ago, I studied electrical engineering, and I can tell you that even the ones and the zeros aren't really ones and zeros. There are thresholds, there are errors, there are variations. Most of the time, it's almost ones, and it's sort of zeros. And why? Because nothing is that simple. And here's the thing. That's good news. Because God is creative, and God is imaginative, and God is complex. Imagine if every sunset looked exactly the same. Imagine if all nature looked exactly the same. Imagine if all people thought the same, looked the same, voted the same, were the same. That would be horrible, terrible, nightmarish. Maybe this is why all forms of beauty exhibit order with a little bit of chaos, simplicity with a little bit of complexity, symmetry with a little bit of dissonance thrown in. Because the reality is, if it was all perfect, we'd know something was wrong or missing, because only God is that transcendent. But this is why we need the perspective that we started with. Because as we recognize that we didn't start as citizens either, maybe we can do a better job of learning to appreciate those who are different from us. More than that, maybe even we can learn how to get along better with grace and with mercy and with kindness and all of those other attributes of God that we have experienced from Him. Maybe even we can learn to celebrate and appreciate our differences, to be kind to people who are not like us, to recognize that we are better diverse and together. Because the reality is, binary is boring. Earlier in our passage, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." That word handiwork in the Greek is poema. We are God's poem. We are God's workmanship. We are God's masterpiece. And maybe this is the why behind all of God's inclusion. Because God is painting a picture. God is writing a poem. God is crafting a project. God is making a masterwork. And that masterpiece is us. Different and diverse and together and beautiful. A magnificent mosaic of different colored, different shaped, different kinds of people, all placed intentionally together to become something wonderful, all included in His masterpiece. Let us pray. Lord God, You know how easy it is for us to divide, for us to separate, for us to create another us and them. But Lord, You made us all in Your image. And more than that, You made us all different. And maybe You did that on purpose. Maybe You are trying to show the world something different through us. That we can be different, and we can be diverse, and we can still be together because we are Yours. Lord, remind us of our citizenship. Remind us that You have included us in Your kingdom as well as in your family. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to change us through that. Lord, we thank you for your Son, who is our example, as well as our Savior. And it's in his name we pray these things. Amen.